and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
Well, I'm really excited about this series, and I have been for some time now, as we start to engage and talk about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's one of those things throughout Scripture, throughout our faith lives, that is really kind of hard to wrap our heads around, isn't it? That throughout Scripture, we hear comments or words or descriptions of the Spirit talked about as like the wind. And so over here, our worship design team kind of created this wonderful, you know, we see the wind moving through our banner today and the way in which it's really unpredictable. We talked about the Celtic Christians and how they see the following the Holy Spirit is like this wild goose chase. Or sometimes, quite often, you know, we hear the Spirit associated with water and baptism. Other times, at the center of our worship today, we have a candle, and the Holy Spirit is connected with that understanding of fire. And wind and fire are really kind of hard to understand, aren't they? Like, you can't bottle wind. If you try, it's just air, right? And so what we can do is we can see these effects of what the wind is in a similar way that, like, we can't touch or hold fire, but we see that it's there. And so the Holy Spirit becomes this really kind of hard, tough thing to sometimes describe. And so throughout the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what the Holy Spirit is, who it is, and then how it impacts our lives. So today, the question is, you know, what do we talk about when we talk about the Holy Spirit? And so the goal for today in 10 minutes, we're going to talk about the Trinity, realizing that we're going to go deep today, talk about the Trinity and what that is and God's relationship with God's self, and then we're going to go wide, okay? You know, we hear about the Holy Spirit in a lot of different ways. Sometimes Hollywood brings it up in some fantastic ways, but being as that yesterday was Star Wars Day, can we play that clip, Nathan? Just to give you an example of what the Holy Spirit might look like in some ways, as my wife groans that we're doing Star Wars. All right, excellent. You know, we come to see what Luke's talking about is, you know, there's something that he can't see with his eyes, but that there's something inside of him that guides him. Now we learn on that there are metaphorins and there's different levels and there's this symbiotic relationship, whatever, okay? Can you see my inner geek showing today? But we come to understand that there's sometimes something more that we can't understand or can't see that's moving within us. And we come to know that as we get in relationship with God as the Holy Spirit. So today we have a fantastic way to talk about and see what's going on with the Holy Spirit. And I've recruited a couple of folks that I'll call you up one by one. But the idea is that a lot of times we understand, you know, the Father and Son, but the Holy Spirit piece is a little bit more difficult. So Jeff, can I have you come up? And we've got t-shirts today. We're making it visual. There you go. Just stick that sucker on. Fantastic. And when we think about the Father, we think about that one that created, that loving parent, the one sometimes that we ascribe with like the power of God, that mighty fortress, or in other scripture, ta-da, look at that. It's way easier than, 9 months of carrying a baby. And so we have, you know, this loving parent. We have, like scripture says, that, you know, God, like that loving mother hen, collects all the chicks, that then the loving parent God is this kind of one person that we see, that it's not that hard to understand. And then, Ben, I'm going to invite you to come up. The next person in the Trinity we see is the Son. Ta-da, right? Is the Word made flesh. We know this most clearly through Jesus. You have to cover up your Wookiee cookies. Man. And so you got the memo about Star Wars Day. That's beautiful. And so we come to realize that the Son, or the Word of God, is that kind of real, most tangible way. And it's really kind of a little bit easier to come to understand. We have miracles that the Son did. We have, you know, people who touched and lived with and were in community with and cried with and shared life with the Son. And so it's a little bit easier to understand that, right? But then the third piece is the Spirit. Rachel said if I made her talk, she would hold it against me. So don't say anything, Rachel. But we come to finally have the Spirit, the dove, like a dove, you know, descending down, as we'll see in just a minute. Or fire, advocate, counselor, God's breath, or in Hebrew, ruach. Ooh, that's a good word, right? In Greek, it's pneuma. But, you know, that sounds so wonderful and beautiful, but at the same time, we come to see that the Spirit's something kind of tricky, isn't it? And so we have these three persons of God kind of lined up like this. And if we go into a little bit of theology, as we were kind of looking at in the third century or so, the way that we come to understand these three persons of God, there was a theology called modalism. And what modalism did was it said that there's really just this one God and there's three masks. Okay? So if you think, if somebody's explained the Trinity to you, like the various forms of water, like you can have ice, you can have vapor or steam or gas, and then you can have the liquid. You know, that would kind of be like modalism, saying that it's God's one thing and that's it at one time, taking on or putting off masks. Other times, if we see these three people as three individual gods, because God's really terrible at math, so by all accounts, we have Jeff and Ben and Rachel as these three individuals, right? And so we as Christians say, well, there's three persons, but only one God. Because if there were three gods, we'd be polytheistic. But what comes to happen and what we see in the theology of the Trinity or being Trinitarian people as we claim the kind of understanding of that with people of Christ is that then all three of these are working in relationship with one another. And that's our key today is relationship. Okay, here's the geometry that I need you guys to do today, okay? Is I need you to form like a triangle and just lock elbows and arms. Yeah, so we can see you. Perfect. Perfect. That's beautiful. Ta-da. Okay. Now stop. Oh my God. Okay. And so now that there's, you can like hold hands or something. Okay. Or I don't know. You can make more comfortable. Okay. Whatever. So get on with it. So we come to understand that there's this relationship. Another theological word is perichoresis, that there's this kind of strange dance that happens between the Father, Son, and Spirit that we don't see, but we come to understand in a powerful way that they're interconnected and together, that they can act and move in special ways. So when Sharon talked about reading Preston's Bible, and it was the Word of God speaking, right? The Word is the... Okay. Couple people playing along. And so we come to understand, and she experiences the Son most prevalent, but is the Son away or detached from the Spirit and the Father? No. And so then if, I'm not going to make you guys walk too far away, but if we come and at the Face of America ride, you know, John experiences the power of creation that the Father kind of created and was imaginative with. Beautiful, right there. Okay? Is there a separation? No, but we see that God is acting and moving in a particular way, all as God's self, but also as an individual. There's a relationship that each and every one of them have, and the goal, hopefully, we recognize that in this kind of middle area, too, we can't see, right? There's still this wonder and mystery that God has in store for us. Even though God presents God's self as these three people in the Trinity, we come to understand that there are still parts of God. You can let go of arms for right now. Don't move. But we come to understand that there's still this mystery that we have in God. And so when we start to get to know the Father, Son, and Spirit in a more, you know, full level, we're able to kind of take a peek and live into that mystery that God has in store for us. And so stay right there. Don't move. So if we look at Scripture, we got a Scripture from Matthew where we see the baptism of Jesus. We see that they can act as very much individuals. I'm just going to ask you to pivot when you hear your role. And then Jesus, good job, went to the Galilee, to the River Jordan, baptized by John. John tried to talk him out of it, saying, I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you, so why are you coming to me? And then Jesus said, it should be done, for God requires. There we go, good. Cliff note, or yeah, hey. The answer is B. So John agreed and baptized him. After baptism, Jesus came up out of the water and the heavens opened up and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, settling on him. There we go, good. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly beloved Son who I have great joy You're good, because it was God talking. Fantastic. So in this Matthew verse, in just these few verses, these four verses, we come to see that the Trinity is acting and moving in a very particular way, in a very individualized way, right? But then if we go all the way back to the beginning, so we go to that next slide, Nate, and we see that in Genesis chapter 1, okay, here's the creation of everything. And don't cheat. There we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the deep. And the Spirit of God, good, all right, was hovering over the surface. Here's a tricky one. Then God said, but wait, don't move, because what is it? It's God's what that speaks into creation? God's word, right? What's God's word? The sun, there we go. So God, the creative force, says to the earth that it's going to do something. Then the Spirit comes over the face of the deep, creates order into chaos. And through God's word then, says, let there be light. And God saw that the light was good. How awesome is that? And here we see that God is acting, you know, not necessarily as these three people like we saw in Matthew, but as this kind of individual force that's then moving and propelling and creating order out of something that was chaos. Pretty awesome, right? So you guys can sit down. Thank you. So we come to see that God is moving and acting in very particular ways at particular times as these particular people of the Trinity, but also as one. The critical piece here is that we come to understand that there is a relationship that is indispensable from these three persons, right? And now if you think about your life and the way in which we come to understand God, we come to realize that if it's true relationship, there can't be a pecking order, right? So some people would say, well, God is so holy and so mighty and so powerful, God the Creator, that God's awesomeness and holiness just overflows, and that's why Jesus the Son is there. And then Jesus' awesomeness and holiness just overflows. Think of like a champagne waterfall. Overflows, and then there's the Son. And then Jesus has a little bit left over, and so the kind of Spirit is just left with whatever's left over. But is that relationship? No, I don't think so. But rather we come to understand that there's this equal playing field where God calls God's self into being. And so now you're saying, oh, that's good theology, but what's that have to do with me, right? We come to recognize that we are created in the image of who? It's okay, you can talk. Who? God, right? Imago Dei. And so we are created in the image of God. And so if so wholeheartedly becomes this understanding of who God is based in the relationship, I really believe that one of the things that as we are created in the image of God, we are called then to be in relationship with one another and ourselves, right? And so to reflect that image of God, we're called into this kind of our own little Trinitarian relationship. You know, so first we're called to love ourselves or love, you know, who we are as the image of God. And so I think we have one more slide, Nate. There we go, right? Here's this Psalm 139. If you want to write that down and make that your prayer this week, that's fantastic. You created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you always remember that? Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Do you live like you're fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you love who you are and understand that you are of sacred worth every day like you are fearfully and wonderfully made? It's the first part of our Trinity. Second part is others, being in relationship with others. And here we draw a little bit from the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, who had these three simple rules. And so his first two were... Perfect. Do no harm, because why? Your neighbor's of sacred worth too, right? It didn't say, Katie, you're of sacred worth, but nobody else is. Sorry, out of luck. It didn't say, Eden, you're of sacred worth, and nobody else is. You're out of luck. Everybody. So recognizing that our neighbors are also of sacred worth is the first step. Secondly, do good. Be an agent of shalom. Shalom means more than just peace, but rather wholeness. So how are we doing no harm while being agents of bringing wholeness to the earth? And the order is important here because a couple of weeks ago, a couple months ago, Bethy just started to walk, right? So our one-year-old now was not one, but she was starting to walk. And Eden was in her playpen with her. And when she started to walk, Eden got so excited and wanted to give her a hug. That's a good thing, right? Except she forgot the do no harm piece. And so she's running over to her sister looking like Ray Lewis gonna take out a freshman from high school at Urbana, just, and Katie and I are eyes big. No! Right? Because we have to remember, in doing good, we have to remember those people and those places and those things that may do harm. So it's asking questions like, where does my food come from? Who's making my clothes? Are they sweatshop clothes? Are they fair trade things? Are people being paid a fair wage? It can be that simple, or it can go a number of different directions. But how am I, without doing harm, then bringing about and being an agent of the change that God would like to see? Finally, our relationship with God. And here we go. If you're just joining us for the first time or just checking out this faith thing, bear with me for a second, okay? But as we then find that final piece of loving God as that Trinitarian relationship, we come to know that in falling more in love with God and trying out what God has in store for us, we begin to see and tune our hearts to what the Spirit might be doing in our lives. We start to see and realize and catch the conversations that God has woven together and been a part of. And so some of these things, John Wesley would say, attend to the ordinances of God, which sounds absolutely exciting, doesn't it? That secret code for fall in love with God more each day. Well, how do you do that? Through prayer and fasting and searching the scriptures, through healthy living, holy communion, baptism, and Christian community. Here's my real pastoral advice for you all today. If you're looking to attend to the ordinances of God, to fall more in love with God, are you ready? Just try something. You hear it? Just do something. If you're just checking this church thing out, just try something. What do you have to lose, right? But you have the world to gain. I read this week, God can't bless what we don't invest. And so if we're not willing to give God a little bit of us, God can't then give more back. And so as we come to understand that we have a relationship with ourselves and with others and with God, as we then in turn make this kind of Trinitarian relationship, this internal perichoresis for us, we are invited into this relationship where we give God a little and God gives so much more back that we trust God with a little. And God blesses that time after time. This week we have an opportunity to invest, to participate, to engage in what God is doing here at Faith Point, and we've heard it echoed throughout the service, haven't we? In so many different ways. It may come up in a conversation of the Spirit at work saying, I don't know how this happened, or it must have been a God thing, or there was just some feeling inside of me. I got news for you. That's the Spirit moving, right? We just may not have the language for it. So today, in just a second, I'm going to invite Katie up, and she's going to celebrate the Lord's Supper with us, Holy Communion. And this is one of those ways where we come to understand that God is here in a place in a special way that we can't create on our own, but it's this outward sign of God's inward grace that we are extended. And so as we come for communion today, just see what God might have in store. Where's the wind blowing? Where's the wild goose taking you, even in this small meal of bread and cup? And how might you then be magnified and share that with others this week? Katie, I invite you to come up.
Do I need the microphone?
I don't know, you can, you're the boss.
Not really. I'm so blessed to get to be here today and share in Holy Communion with you. I'm Katie Bishop. I'm Chris's wife. I'm pastor at New Hope in Brunswick. So let's just pray together. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you dwell in and among us. And we thank you for this gift of communion with you. Lord, we just ask that you would draw us into your presence, that we might experience you in a new and real way. That we might feel that breath, that wind of your Spirit speaking into our lives and calling us closer. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.